This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley. Let's dig deep and grow strong. And now, here's Jeff.
All right, we are talking about Satan and his big lies, because he is a liar from the beginning. I don't know if you've ever been lied to about something. I have before. I've been lied to in ministry. I've been lied to from, you know, different Christian people, sometimes very famous Christian people. And, you know, there's just kind of this betrayal that goes on when you're lied to like that. But, you know, when Satan lies to us, we just kind of laugh it off and just, we go along with it, because his lies are so convincing, and he has the ability to tempt us to fall for the same lies over and over again. Aren't we crazy like that? But yet that's kind of who we are, you know, and because we're fallen humanity. But we want to know how we can avoid doing that, how we can be more aware of Satan's lies so that we're not falling for his deceptions. You know, we were talking about the sin of man in Genesis chapter 3, and, you know, Satan's lie was that he questioned the word of God. He questioned God's words, God's promises. And he also just straight up lied to Adam and Eve. He said, you're not going to die. And then he's told another partial truth, partial lie. He says, when you eat the fruit, you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, yeah, you're going to know good and evil, but that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to be enlightened all the time. It's not a good thing to have knowledge of all that is evil out there, which is why you should consider kind of beginning to distance yourself a little bit. We're talking about social distancing, right? Here's the real social distancing. It's for us to distance our minds from social media, because there's so much negativity and hate and just straight up fake news that's on. And I don't mean that from a Donald Trump standpoint. I mean that from an actual standpoint. It's not a political statement. It literally, I mean, you read something in the news that either mainstream media is posting or maybe a well-intentioned friend is posting, and it's just a lie. It's an absolute lie. We think that somehow, now follow this reasoning here, that somehow because it's on the internet, it has a website, it has a picture that goes with it, that somehow that legitimizes what has just been posted. But it has nothing to do with the truth or falsehood of a certain post. And so that's why I do my best to really do my research and to vet websites before I, or an article or whatever, before I put it up on social media, on Facebook or whatever, because, and I've made a couple mistakes, you know, in the past where I've posted something, someone says, hey, this is not right, or hey, this happened 5 years ago and that kind of thing. And it was, you know, posted as if it happened yesterday. So I have to be careful about that. But all I have to say is that's one of the ways that Satan gets his lies in. He tells a little bit of truth, but he packs it on the back end with a lot of lies. You know, I read something one time. I wrote it down in my Bible here at the bottom of the page in Genesis chapter 3. I wrote this down, the big lie, and then an arrow that says this: fulfillment awaits you outside of God's protection and provision. Fulfillment awaits you outside of God's provision. And God had provided for Adam and Eve everything they needed. They needed nothing. There was nothing that wasn't provided. They had the whole world. They had the most incredible garden. They had all the animals under their control. They had one another, the perfect couple. Hello. But that wasn't enough, because Satan is so good at making us think that we need more. I just need more. I need more than the fulfillment that God gives me in a relationship with him. I need more than fulfillment that my husband or wife give me. I need more than the fulfillment that I get from my family when I'm with my family, you know. And so many husbands fall prey to the lies of Satan and spend more time at the office than they should, because there's that subtle lie. I got to make more money. And, you know, doing it for love for the family, or maybe it's the wife that's doing it, who knows. But I'm just saying, fulfillment, real fulfillment. If you want that little edge on life, just go outside of what God has provided. You know what? People are doing it with the Word of God. The Word of God is not enough. Not enough. And there are these books out there that are just straight up made up stuff, like this book, Jesus Calling. And I don't have time to go through all of the errors and heresy involved in that book. But you and I don't need some lady to pretend to talk for Jesus to us when we have Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit speaking directly to us through the Bible. Okay? So I don't need to pretend to be God and talk to you. I'm going to explain the Word of God to you, and I'm going to give you biblical principles, but I never will be able to speak as God to you like this woman does. And it's the most blasphemous thing on planet Earth that she's doing, and yet that book is sold and the millions and millions of copies because Christians so desperate, I just want God to speak directly to me. And God's over here going, hey, I wrote a whole book for you. It just takes a little more work than someone pretending to pre-digest your food for you. Now, that's a lie of Satan, that someone else can speak for God, not speak for God, speak as God in a book, when I got news for you, Jesus never said any of those things to that lady, ever, because she thinks she's getting direct revelation from God and doing this auto-writing thing that pagan cults and religions practice. It's a form of demonic possession that they do, and yet she's pretending to do this for God. Wrong. It's a lie. And Satan wants us to fall for that lie. You know, when we fall for the lie, what happens to us? Well, what happened to Adam and Eve? The first thing that they experienced was, and we talk about distancing, they experienced distance from God. That's what falling for the lie does. It brings distance between us and God. We feel that disconnect. I feel it every time I sin, when I'm aware of it, and I'm sure you do too. It's the idea that God is just not close, that we're not communicating, like a call is dropped. You know, when you're on your phone, all of a sudden the person's just gone. And that's what happens in our relationship with God. The call drops, and we're not close to Him. But guess what? We're the one that walked away from God because we fell for Satan's propaganda in our lives. But I won't go into all of the things that happened here, but, you know, sin affected their minds. All of a sudden, they couldn't think straight anymore. They couldn't think biblically anymore. And instead of thinking, watch this now. One of the things that sin does to our minds when we allow sin to be entertained in our minds is that once we realize that we've sinned, then there's like a secondary, like follow-up effect of sin. And here it is that we begin to believe even more untrue things about God and our relationship with Him. For example, the first thing that Adam and Eve did, instead of running to the Father that had created them, that had made them, that had put them in this garden, given them all this, instead of running to Him, they ran away from Him. And that's one of the first things we tend to do as well. We tend to run from God when we sin, when we should be running to Him. And yes, we have a proper sense of guilt and shame, and that's a natural result of sin. But our minds think that He's the Father that's going to punish us if we come back to Him. When I was a young teenager, before I became a Christian, I was into all kinds of stuff and, you know, dealing drugs and all this other stuff, and I was running with a crowd of people that I was not good for them and they were not good for me, okay? And I'll never forget one time, I got so fed up with my parents because they were such great parents. But they didn't want me to go on this certain camping trip that I wanted to go on with my friends. And so they forbid me to go. And so I just left home. I just left home and I was gone for like a day or two. And they didn't know where I was. Finally, they located me at a friend's house. And I told my dad, you know, I don't want to come home because I'm afraid of what you'll do to me when I get home. And Dad said, all I want to do to you, son, is just talk. That's all I want to do. And, you know, I'd grown up, my dad was a great disciplinarian, and man, when he spanked me, I got the message. And here I was now, what, 15 years old or whatever, and thinking he was going to do the same thing. He's like, Jeff, I just want to talk. You see, my fear of what my dad would do to me if I came back to him was greater than me wanting to come back and restore that relationship. And sometimes we're like that. We're like the prodigal son, and we're afraid just to go straight to God and just say, Lord, for the 1,000,000th time, I am sorry. Lord, forgive me. And of course, our sins are already forgiven, but it's appropriating and enjoying the experience of that forgiveness that we miss sometimes. And that's what Adam and Eve did. But guess what? God came looking for them. God came looking for them. And but anyway, all that to say is that it affected their minds and what they thought about God. They could not concentrate on God like they used to. I mean, think about it now. You and I, we have trouble concentrating on spiritual things, whereas we can concentrate on a movie or a song or, you know, anything, sports, for hours without feeling tired or interrupted. But when it comes to God, it's work for our minds. Why? Because our minds are affected by sin. It affected their emotions. Now their emotions would be unstable as opposed to being perfect. It also affected their wills, their ability to choose. Now it would become harder to choose the right way instead of as opposed to the wrong way, which came natural now. So it affected their minds, their emotions, their will, and then finally it affected their bodies as well. All of a sudden they were shameful. They felt shameful in their nakedness. It said that disease came in after this, death, and they lost their identity. They just lost their identity. They lost the sense of who they were, and they began to experience things because of the big lie of Satan. They began to experience things like shame and guilt, which God never intended for them to have, grief, pain, sadness, loneliness, isolation, separation, confusion. Boy, that's not a good thing, is it? So, but that's exactly what the big lie does to us. And when Satan comes to us and he begins to float those lies around us, we have to just take a moment and pause and think about what's on the other side of this. What's on the other side of this lie? If I entertain this lie that feels so natural, you know, it feels so good. It feels real. That's the thing, is that trusting God by faith in his word, by faith, sometimes it doesn't feel real. But what we're feeling and seeing and acting and knowing and participating in the real world, quote unquote, that does feel real. It's like when you go to the dentist and he gives you that shot of Novocaine before he fills your tooth, and you feel like the right side of your face and your cheek, you feel like it's as big as a basketball, right? And you're trying to feel it inside your mouth and you're biting your inside of your cheek and you're like, I can't feel anything. This is what feels real to me. But it's not real. Your cheek's not any bigger. And if you bite hard enough, you're going to cause damage to the inside of your mouth. But the Novocaine makes us feel this alternate reality almost. And that's what sin does. Sin is like Novocaine. It numbs us to the truth. It numbs us to God's reality. It numbs us to what he says in his word. And, you know, you can hurt yourself when you're numb. And so that's what God is trying to help us to recognize, that this is not real. This is not real. It's like in a movie, you know, when people have a dream, and in the dream something bad's happening, and they're saying, I'm in a dream. This is not real. This is exactly what Satan does. So like Adam and Eve didn't do, we have to recognize sometimes that what is being presented to us is a subtle lie, or sometimes just a really, really big lie, because we're already feeling it anyway. I mean, we're already, you know, going down the path in our mind, and our bodies are feeling certain things and stuff, you know. And guess what? Sin is pleasurable. Let's not try to sugarcoat this thing. It's very, very pleasurable. Otherwise, we wouldn't do it, right? I mean, if every time you and I sinned, we got like a stabbing pain in our side, we would go, you know, this sin thing doesn't, you know, it's like touching your hand to an iron. You don't do that anymore, because you did it once, you know. You don't touch those raw wires coming out of the wall when you're changing a light socket or whatever, or a plug-in. You know why? Because you did it once, and that was enough. But with sin is a pleasurable return. In fact, that's exactly what Hebrews 11:25 says. It was talking about Moses in Egypt, and it talked about him. It says he gave up the passing pleasures of sin. So, yes, there's pleasure. Yes, there's happiness in sin. Not joy, not ultimate happiness, but there is an immediate buzz that we get from sinning. Emotionally, we get that. Sometimes mentally, intellectually, and sometimes physically. But afterwards, you go, wow, that was wrong. You know, whether we spoke something out of turn, whether we had a thought that wasn't held captive to Christ, or whether something we did with our body, with our hands, with our eyes, whatever. I mean, we have to realize that we are fallen creatures. We're redeemed by Christ, but we're fallen creatures that are still susceptible to sin in this flesh. And that's exactly what Paul said in Romans 7. He said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Now, this is a problem, Paul says. In fact, he goes on to say, who will set me free from this body of death? And by the way, when we die or when we are raptured, we're going to get new bodies. And that sin nature is going to be completely eradicated. And obviously, we can overcome the sin nature now. Wrote a whole book on that called The Christian Zombie Killer's Handbook. But we can do that. But when Satan gives us the big lie and he comes to us and he doesn't say things like, you know, let's go hurt yourself in a way that will just leave scars for the rest of your life. He didn't do that. He says, let's go have some fun. But Satan's fun is not God's fun. In fact, I believe it's Ecclesiastes 2:25 that says, who can drink and who can eat and who can have enjoyment without God? So God really is the true source of our enjoyment and our happiness and our pleasure. All the things that he provides for us. I mean, Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. So we have to keep our spiritual antenna up and know that, now here's the deal, in these days that we're living in right now, because we're not, society and culture and even government doesn't have our back anymore. So we're kind of going out in the battle without backup, without support, except for those people who love us, people in our family, or people in our church, or in a small group, or our Christian friends. Those are the people that we can lean on. Hey, pray for me because I'm getting ready to head into some choppy waters or whatever. And, you know, that's how it works. I mean, we have to realize that we cannot live the Christian life by ourselves, but we do. In a healthy way, depend upon one another. And as Galatians 6:1-2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And by the way, all these commands that Paul gives in his epistles, the vast majority of them are directed from Christian to Christian, okay? I mean, Paul's not really talking about the world as much as he is the church. And the key to attracting someone to Christ from just an attractional standpoint is for the family to get along. And if the family loves each other and supports each other, and you know, who doesn't want to be a part of that? The kind of family that really has a fun time and enjoys being with each other and is there for each other. And we have a little motto in our family that whenever there's a need, you know, I have three grown sons and two daughters-in-law, and one about to be a daughter-in-law, and of course my wife. And we have this little saying within the Kinley clan, the Kinley family here. We just say, that's what family does. That's what family does. And there have been times when, hey, someone has needed something. They've needed help moving, or they've needed money. They've needed a loan, or they need some sort of emotional support, or, hey, can you keep my kids, or whatever. There's been so many times when there's been a need, and the text message that you get back is just simply, don't worry about it. That's what family does. You know, we need more of that in the church today to help us, to help guard ourselves from Satan's subtle lies. And to make sure, as I used to tell my church, that when someone on this side of the room stubs their toe, somebody over on this side of the room is going to say, ouch. You know why? Because we're that connected to one another. So lean upon your brothers and sisters in Christ. Tell them how they can pray for you and ask them how you can pray for them to guard ourselves from these subtle and sometimes big lies that Satan tells. I encourage you to go back and study that Genesis 3 passage yourself. And hey, if you haven't subscribed to this podcast, please do it. And if you'd like to support the podcast, go to jeffkinley.com, click on that donate tab, and you can set up a payment for that. Hey, thanks for listening. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.